Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
News Talk's Eamon Torsley is with me today to, well, tell us, Eamon, about all of the reasons to be happy this week. Plenty of good.
There's always plenty of reasons to be happy. I think kicking off with the women's football team, actually, they were in action last night. When I spoke to you last year, by the way, at the end of last year, we had the women's team as being one of the reasons last year to be happy for the whole year. And they might end the year happy this year as well, because they had a 3-0 home win against Georgia. That made it a 9-0 victory in what is a semi-final playoff. So they're into the final playoff against Wales. So it's a setting up for a really superb home and away encounter between Wales and Ireland at the end of November. They play away in Cardiff, and then early in December they play at home at the Aviva. So building up to qualify for the European Championships for the first time in Switzerland next year. So the prize is huge. Won't be an easy task, but I think they've shown that they really are determined in their performance. I don't know if you got any chance to see any of the game last night.
I had a
quick look. I was dipping in and out, and at one point Katie McCabe was taking a free, and the crowd were just shouting, "Katie, Katie," and I thought, oh my gosh, we have new stars really that are capturing the imagination of the public, and hopefully we get to cheer them on next year. We'd love football finals to be cheering on next year for the whole country.
Yeah, we're talking about cheering on fans and superstars. I know a lot of spectators are cheering on this Irish actor on Sunday.
You all right? Yeah, we'll take it home.
Let's go home.
No table today.
No
today.
I'm
over with this.
We can do this.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah,
let's go.
That's right. Our own Colin Farrell, he was out on the marathon along with so many others raising money for charity. And he had a very special reason, of course. He was running with his longtime friend, Emma Fogarty. And they've raised over €700,000 for the charity, Deborah. They're aiming for €1 million. And of course, she's battling that rare skin disease, the epidermolysis bullosa. And it's really a skin condition that is really...
extraordinary condition.
Yes. And she's been on News Talk as well with Colin talking about this. And it was great to see, like, I mean, he's a Hollywood superstar.
Oh, it was incredible.
Running the streets of Dublin.
I wasn't in Dublin now at the weekend, but I watched quite a few of the clips online, you know, and the footage following Colin Farrell around various different stages of the marathon on Sunday. And just, like, fair play to him.
Oh, it's terrific, terrific. And to include Emma in the run
the
as well.
4 kilometres.
It's tremendous. It's terrific. And I know, like, if you have an illness of any description and something that might restrict you from doing things, it's marvellous. And it's a sense of freedom and the positivity that gives people and the hope for people who are suffering for that condition as well, which is a really difficult one to cope with.
It's a very rare one. And I actually had a listener here in the programme with us just a couple of months back who too has that very same condition. And it's pretty incredible what they live with day to day. But fair play to Colin Farrell and all involved there, of course, with that fundraising effort. This is the number one best wedding song.
Now, I have to say, I was a little taken by surprise by this one now. This is the most popular wedding song. And I have to stress, this is according to an online vendor search tool for couples tying the knot. So this turns out to be the most popular song at weddings. And of course, it's not just the first dance. It's basically any dance or
any
music.
That's what I was trying to figure out. Because I'm yet to see somebody ever walk down the aisle to Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Somebody have their first dance to it.
No, exactly. So I think it's kind of what's played and to get people up on the dance floor. Maybe there's a lull in the wedding and you want to get people up on that dance floor, so you play that as well. And in second, even though I kind of can see why it's second, I'm still surprised by it. And that's Dancing Queen by ABBA. It's just popular. Again, it's just a floor filler as opposed to, this is the emotional connection to walk down the aisle or maybe, the first dance. I can't, because you'd imagine everybody dances to Dancing Queen, not just a couple,
I
you know.
I wouldn't have thought it was.
But interesting choices for wedding songs. And also, I suppose the interesting thing about this is that they're old songs, aren't they? You know, what's making the dance floors now.
But, Sue has got in touch. She says, our first dance back in July 1979 was to Sealed with a Kiss, our song since the summer of 1975.
Yeah, and usually most songs have a kind of a story behind them, rather than, whereas I sense this is just, you know, let's get the crowd involved and everybody in the wedding involved on the dance floor.
Yeah.
And get them
well,
up off,
I want to hear from listeners today. Yeah. What was, well, what is your best wedding song? And let that be the song that you maybe walk down the aisle to, or perhaps it can be your first dance song. Good news on cancer treatment and research.
Yeah, a story close to my heart, of course, as a cancer survivor. So I always kind of follow closely what's happening with treatment for cancer. And this in particular, a brain tumor, a chap in England who had a brain tumor, and it's 62-year-old Paul Reed. And he's had an experimental trial where radiation is injected directly into the tumour. Now, what's interesting is that he had had, it was such a large tumour that he'd had operations to try and reduce the size, but it was aggressive and it grew back. And so he said he was willing to try anything, and they offered him this treatment where they literally directly inject the treatment at the actual brain tumour, and within weeks it had reduced considerably in size. Now, he's the first person to undergo the treatment, and there is a second person undergoing the treatment, and what's happening is that the direction of the treatment, it helps repair DNA damage in cells that directly into the tumour to deliver small amounts of radioactivity, and it causes lethal damage to tumour cells but leaves healthy tissue unaffected. So that's quite interesting that it's so targeted that it targets the tumour and doesn't kill off any healthy cells. We know that with you know, some forms of chemotherapy, you kill all the good stuff as well as the bad stuff. So hopefully this is a pioneering treatment that can continue. Now, the consultant is urging caution. He said, look, it's the first inhuman study, so we've been cautious in our approach and are only treating patients for 6 weeks. So, but look, it's a game changer, I think, if they can get this to work.
It's pretty incredible that, you know, what modern day research can throw up, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely marvellous. You know, and you know, the survival rates are improving and people are living longer. And you know, he was giving up hope, really. You know, and decided, look, we'll go with this experimental treatment, and immunotherapy is also the other kind of game changer in cancer treatment as well. And I think that'll be combined with this as well to try and treat that cancer. So a really good news story from Britain. And of course, you'd be worried, wouldn't you? You know, anything to do with the brain, you're worried. And to think that they were able to target the treatment is really good news. And hopefully they can develop it.
Now, on a lighter note, something that nobody wants to happen on their big day.
Kick up a rumpus, but don't lose the compass, and get me through the church, get me through the church, be sure and get me through the church on time.
Kind of surprised that wasn't in the list as the best wedding songs at the wedding ceremony. But yeah, look, it was actually Bank Holiday Monday. There was a florist who was heading to Maynooth. She was travelling from Dunleary to Maynooth, so a good bit of a journey there. And her van broke down. And two heroic Gardaí happened to be driving by, and they saw she was in trouble. So this is Garda Carton and Garda O'Dowd. They're on patrol in Dunleary at 8 a.m. on Monday morning. And they came across frazzled Roisin, and she was heading to that chapel, as I say, Lady Chapel in Maynooth, to set up for the wedding.
Yeah, I presume she's setting up the church.
Yeah, setting up the church with the flowers, yeah. And the van broke down, and of course, had she got roadside assistance, they would have had to wait, you know, could have been late for the wedding and all the ceremony. And the Gardaí decided they would take all the buckets of flowers, and they put them in the back of the Garda van, and they rescued the wedding ceremony. Well, I presume they would have gone ahead without the flowers, but they...
Probably not the worst thing to not show up on a wedding day, but
obviously the florist obviously feels so much pressure to be there and get their time. So they got it down there, and they loaded the flower buckets into the Garda van and made their way to Lady Chapel in the nick of time, apparently. So and then the happy couple got married, etc. So we don't know, as I say, in the Garda post on Facebook, whether the bouquet was thrown in anybody's direction in particular after the wedding ceremony. Yeah, so there you go.
Now, finally, I'd say it's probably my favourite Halloween movie.
What's that noise?
Popcorn.
You making popcorn?
Uh-huh.
I only eat popcorn at the movies.
Well, I'm getting ready to watch a video.
Really? What?
Oh, just some scary movie.
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Scream.
I am a complete wuss when it comes to horror and scary movies.
I mean, like, I've no doubt now there's going to be a flood of texts coming in from people who'll say Scream isn't a scary movie, Andrea. Yeah, yeah. You know, it is a kind of a it's so ridiculous.
Yeah. It is. The last horror movie that I ever watched and stopped watching was Blair Witch, and I know people at home go, that was rubbish, probably people thinking. And literally I was sat at a screen which went blank, you know, for about, you know, that's a bit of exaggeration, a few minutes. And I was so scared and petrified because nobody knew what was going to happen. And I remember walking home, I was living in Sydney at the time, and I was walking home the street looking over my shoulder and thinking, I'm never watching a scary movie ever again. And I've since stopped. But apparently there's a survey now that says that experiencing intense emotions with others makes people feel more connected. I kind of feel it's a statement of the obvious, but there has been intense research about it where they kind of they separated people, so they're watching movies, different types of movies, neutral movies, scary movies, emotional movies, and they either separate them and let them watch it and see what their connection is with others, or else they took the curtain away and had people in pairs watching, and they found that those who watched together felt more of emotional connection with each other from watching it. I kind of think that's stating of the obvious. You know, I think so. And then of course again, emotional, so maybe not just scary, but it could be a heartbreaking movie or something with emotion in it, and I kind of think that doesn't surprise me, and I think that would apply with a lot of things. When you think, maybe I suppose you wouldn't read a book together, but you'd watch a TV program, and I suppose it's that glance, isn't it? That kind of, did you just see what I just saw? And
well, for most of the horror movies, I would tend to watch them, in my arm or behind the cushion or my head turned to the side, not actually to the screen. But we're looking for the best Halloween movie recommendations.
I'm old enough to remember the old black and white horror movies they used to show, with the Peter Cushing and the Christopher Reeve, all those ones, and they used to freak me out as a kid, and we watched them as families every Saturday evening. And I remember my mother used to try to play jokes on us then as well, while we were watching them, like she'd be tapping on the window outside and all that kind of stuff.
Eamon Torsney, as always, thanks a million, Eamon, for bringing a little smile to her face this Wednesday afternoon.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.